Good morning. Welcome everybody to the October 21st, 2014 Sussex County Council meeting. Called meeting to order. First thing to the agenda approval, Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. I do have an amendment to the agenda. We can strike all items under executive session, including pending potential litigation and land acquisition, as well as possible action on executive session items.
I intend a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
You got it.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second. Mr. Phillips, any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. We had the minutes of October 14th. Any questions, corrections to those? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore?
There is none, Mr. President.
Any correspondence from council? We have a consent agenda. We have two items, a wastewater agreement number 866-4 and wastewater agreement number 866-5. Any questions on those two? Hearing none, we'll entertain a motion to approve them.
So moved.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second. Mr. Phillips, any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. First item of business is recognizing National Friends of the Library Week. We are joined by the Director of County Libraries, Ms. Kathy Graville, who will give a presentation. We have members of staff and other representatives from county libraries as well in attendance. So, Mrs. Grable, thank you. Welcome.
Good morning, Council. It is my great privilege to be here today while you all present the proclamation for Sussex County Friends of the Library Week. It's important to remember, as we focus on the monies that are raised by these people so dedicated to the library, why they do that, and that's what's stated in the proclamation. At the same time, we are here to acknowledge that literally hundreds of thousands of dollars are raised by these groups for the Sussex County Libraries every year. And in cases of building projects, that goes into the millions. So I'm going to join you in showing them some appreciation. I'd like to introduce, the acceptance is going to be by Jean Gandak with the Seaford District Library. Come on up. And Theo Lapata with the Friends of the South Coastal Library, or FOSSL. Which is a great name. I know. Isn't that great? It's worth noting that both of these women also have served on the Sussex County Library Advisory Board, the Statewide Council on Libraries Board, so they're wonderful volunteers to our communities. Okay, Mr. Lawson.
Okay, President. I have a proclamation to read, and we'll have a photo op afterwards. Proclaiming the week of October 19th through the 25th, 2014, as Friends of the Sussex County Libraries Week. Whereas the Friends of Sussex County Libraries are library champions because better libraries build better communities by strengthening families, increasing student performance and high school completion, supporting small businesses, and contributing to a lower crime rate and to local prosperity. The Friends guarantee that our libraries are great rather than just good by fundraising year-round to provide additional classes, equipment, summer reading materials, special events, and much more. And the Friends recognize that our libraries empower the individual through self-directed education and research across the lifespan. The Friends sneeze their way through boxes of musty boxes, bake again and again, and continually create inventive ways to raise money for our libraries. The Friends are living examples of civic commitment and the power of volunteerism. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sussex County Council proclaims October 19th through the 25th, 2014, as Friends of the Sussex County Libraries Week, and encourages all residents to thank the Friends for the gift of their time and efforts to lift up our communities. Signed, Michael H. Vincent, President, dated October 21st, 2014. Congratulations. Thank you.
That
those people, the Friends that
yes.
are here with us also.
Yes.
Thank you
Thank
so
you
much.
Very much for all that you do.
Appreciate
it. All right, let's turn around here so we can get some pictures taken for you.
Right, right.
You can hold that. Close up and personal here.
That's right.
Again, ladies, thank you very much for all that you do and all the other people do, too. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Kathy, and thank you to everyone for attending today. Mr. President, the next item of business is the Planning and Zoning Commission appointment. That commission appointment is for District 3, Mrs. Deaver. Since she's not here yet, perhaps we should move on to the next item and then return back. Thank you. Next item of business is the FEMA flood ordinance discussion. I will introduce this discussion matter, and then we can entertain any questions of council on this item. Recall during the September 23rd meeting, we gave County Council an update on the work staff has done with the FEMA flood ordinance and all of the requirements that FEMA is making the county and every municipality that has flood insurance go through in anticipation of the March 2015 deadline. The discussion focused on Freeboard and the Freeboard requirement, and Council had some questions that we were tasked with going back and getting responses for, and we said we would come back to today's date and bring up this discussion and continue forward. Note that this is simply a discussion. We have not introduced an ordinance, draft ordinance yet. The draft ordinance is 99% complete and will be introduced at a future date, and that will be scheduled for public hearing process in 2015 to conclude by the March deadline. Also note that one of the subjective questions in the ordinance drafting is the Freeboard requirement, and that's why we're focusing on that. As we noted during the previous meeting, the elevation of a structure's lowest floor relative to the base flood elevation, otherwise known as BFE, does affect the calculation of the flood insurance rate for that structure. A recently released fact sheet from FEMA describing those benefits of Freeboard was attached to the memo in the packet. An owner who elects to elevate a structure higher than required will have a lower insurance rate. The reduction of the insurance rate is a function of the amount of additional elevation, known as Freeboard, at which the structure is built. A chart that looked like this was in your packet, provided by FEMA, and illustrates the reduction in the premium as they relate to the additional Freeboard elevation. One question that was posed to us was about a countywide update, depending on the action that Sussex County Council takes on the FEMA flood ordinance and the Freeboard requirement. Sussex County does not qualify for a countywide discount for a Freeboard requirement at this time. To receive such a discount, the county would need to participate in what's known as FEMA's community rating system. This may be an option the county wishes to explore in the future, but at this time is separate from the flood ordinance consideration. Also contained in the memo is information that we collected through an informal solicitation of municipalities within the county that are ongoing this update of their own ordinances. You can see that table on page 2 of the memo. As you can see, there are a number and varying degrees of Freeboard requirements throughout these municipalities. I would note that specific municipalities are waiting to see what the county does to determine if they would want to follow our lead. In closing, based on the review of our information, staff is recommending to County Council a voluntary Freeboard requirement for Sussex County at this time. In addition to that requirement, we would also recommend up to an additional 2 feet of building height to correspond with the Freeboard height above BFE, not to exceed 2 feet above the allowable building height in that respective zoning district. That's a lot of information. We've had staff join us today, and our attorneys are here as well. And we're joined by Michael Powell, a director at Denerec, who is helping lead the state's efforts in this initiative. I will conclude there and ask if the council has any questions of staff.
Question to council.
Yeah, I got a question. Just clarify this again. Like you said, it was a lot of information. You talked about where at the last, your Freeboard recommendation, where an additional 2 feet, to correspond with the above freeboard height. So if somebody only goes 12 inches, we only give them 12 inches. It doesn't mean they could go 12 inches of freeboard and get 2 feet of additional height.
That's right.
Yeah, the only problem in the coastal area, you have all these homes have built at a certain height, and a lot of times there's only like one lot left or two lots left in some of these, especially in the oceanfront communities. And I know how sometimes those communities really get in a huff over these, when people want to get variances to go higher than their neighbors and all this other stuff. And I'm just wondering if this does could cause a problem. And
we did talk about that a little bit.
Right.
Still, those developments, as you know, they have their own restrictive covenants that may have their own height limit in there that would, if that's more stringent than what the county requires, they'd still have to abide by it.
Would they have to abide by this recommendation we're going? Like, in other words, if Sussex Shores has 35 feet.
They would still be at 35 feet.
And if somebody wanted to go freeboard, they still are stuck.
They could do the freeboard, but they still wouldn't get above.
They'd have the 35 feet.
They'd still have to deal with
because those are deed
covenants.
Restrictions
that's
within
right.
those communities. So they still, okay. Can an applicant or an individual come and ask for a variance from the county that would be in conflict with a deed restriction?
Well, the way I know it, at least at planning and zoning, the way we've always approached it is, the county can look at approving something, but you still have to deal with whatever your restrictive covenants say. So even if they got a variance, you still might have your homeowners.
I know they have to deal with it, but what takes in the eyes of the law, being that you're the lawyer?
I am.
Yes,
does
he is.
Deed... restrictions trump of variance board's decision?
If they're more restrictive, yes.
Okay, so private deed restrictions will always trump what we do. Okay,
yeah.
Okay, because that's where the...
As long as they're more restrictive.
Yeah, not necessarily always.
Right.
If they're more restrictive, if the county is more restrictive,
then
that
the county
trumps.
Code would, yeah, exactly.
Whichever is more restrictive
that's
trumps.
Exactly right.
Okay.
So we allow 42 feet, most of the communities do not. Like, I know Bethany Beach, I think, is only 35 feet or something like that. Okay, I just want to make sure that we don't go into these areas that have private deed restrictions and start messing up their plans. So, okay.
The way we looked at it is if somebody chose to increase their freeboard by a foot or two, we didn't want to penalize them by basically compressing the amount of their house.
Right.
It just slides up by a foot or two.
So it basically it's in the unincorporated areas.
That's right.
And most of the coastal areas all has deed restrictions in most communities. So maybe where do we see the impact? Maybe along the Indian River up around Oak Orchard where there's individual parcels that people aren't in a homeowners association.
Right. And again, like Mr. Lawson stated too, there's also some of the municipalities that are looking to see what we're doing.
Right.
Slaughter Beach, I think, is one that's waiting, and some of the ones along the Delaware Bay too. So.
Question.
Sure.
I do not understand why we're building in flood zones, number one. Number two, it's been explained to me why us having an overall, say, extra 12-inch freeboard mandatory is a bad thing. I know it's been explained to me, but I still don't understand it. Rehoboth Beach has a cross the line, I think it's 12-inch mandatory freeboard. And why would one town, and we can't do it, but they can do it. And do they get a discount on folks when they build new homes as far as, complying with FEMA and meeting their 12-inch above freeboard? Why can't our people have the same benefit?
Well, they do. When you get the benefit is in the county, when you comply and, get your building permit and build your house, you get an elevation certificate. If that elevation certificate shows that you're 12 inches above base flood elevation, that's going to drive what your insurance rates are, and that's going to lead to a discount in your flood insurance.
That's if.
No, it will. If you have a flood...
Hopefully, where does it get caught that the folks don't get left building something that didn't get done properly, and then now they're stuck with very high insurance rates. That's what I'm concerned about. Is there a catch-all? Where would that be?
I'm not sure.
You understand your question. Are they going to be well advised when they're building houses on the floodplain as to exactly what they need to do to qualify for that discount on the flood insurance?
Well,
that's a concern.
They're going to have to build their house to the flood insurance requirements that will be in our ordinance, so they won't get
the
building permit.
Yes, to the flood insurance requirements. I'm talking about extra freeboard.
Right. Well, you know, that's going to be up to them to decide. It's just like anybody could decide if they want to go up 5 feet on their own voluntarily to try to reduce their flood insurance. There's some diminishing return the higher you go on discounts, but anybody has the ability to try to reduce their flood insurance rates. It's just like the analogy I've used: if you buy a safer car, you're going to get lower car insurance. It's the same thing.
Yeah, but
you know,
cars are much improved, and because of regulation, and don't like to hear that word. Are we saying by not asking for the extra 12 inches that it's not a good idea? What is the purpose of not mandating that?
Well, let me jump in real quick. This was just staff's recommendation, and the five of you had the option to mandate any freeboard that you would like with the enactment of this ordinance. This was just our analysis of this one individual item. If three of you would like to agree to a mandated requirement for freeboard, you may do that.
Well, I've thought about it, and we've talked about it, and in the middle of the night, I'll wake up and say, I don't understand that, and I don't. There's reason given that Rehoboth would qualify for a discount, but we wouldn't if ours was mandatory. I don't understand that.
No, we do.
We
That's
do.
Wrong information.
Mandatory.
You don't have to
freeboard, extra freeboard.
No, but everybody gets the discount. If you build a foot up,
okay,
whether it's mandatory or not, when you apply for your flood insurance, you'll get the discount.
But we are overall going to go to FEMA and say that we're not asking for extra freeboard. Is that correct? We're not demanding it.
That's the recommendation.
That's the recommendation. Yeah. That's correct.
That is going to be our
requires base flood elevation.
So our recommendation will be up 12 inches above the base flood line.
Yeah. Well, the county council has not made a recommendation.
That's what I'm trying to understand.
Staff has made a recommendation that people basically be able to go high as they want, but up to 2 feet, and if they go up a foot or 2 feet, they will get another foot or 2 feet on the height of the structure. It doesn't penalize somebody for going up an extra foot or two of base flood elevation, and frankly, it may incentivize people to go up because they'll get another foot or two of height at the top.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's up to the individual, and they would certainly, I understand that they would benefit by going extra extra freeboard, and there's a height limit, I understand that, but if there's a conflict there, couldn't it go to the Board of Adjustment if there's a problem there? You know, I'm just trying to visualize, they can only go so high, the overall height is restricted in the county, and so their choice may affect that. But if it does, can it go to Board of Adjustment and be adjusted somehow? I'm just trying to save people money.
Yeah.
Those insurance premiums, they're horrendous.
No, I understand. Believe me, seeing what people pay when they buy properties. No, that's true. They could go to the Board of Adjustment and seek a variance, just like anybody could from something in the zoning code. So, yes.
How about if it goes up 3 feet? Did it get 3 feet up?
No, they would be limited at 2 feet. And we talked about that because, you know, there would be the possibility of abuse. You know, you could go up 10 feet and build your house 10 feet taller than everybody else around you. So
it's on pollen, correct?
Yeah, well, however you wanted to build it, but probably pollen.
Well, how else could you build it?
Yeah, I mean, you could do it on piers or pollen.
Is that considered sea level? Cardinal sea level you're at? Does that mean?
No, it's based on the flood insurance rating maps that FEMA's developed, that base flood elevation. And I'm not sure the date on that. Mr. Powell probably could.
How many feet that is?
It's different. The base flood elevation is different depending on the zone you're in.
That's where the problem comes in, isn't it?
Right.
It just depends on who drew the map and where you sit at. That's for another thing you should look at where you buy a piece of property.
Well, that is true. I mean, that's true, whether you're in a flood zone or not.
And FEMA just went through a national update of those entire maps. Sussex County went through that whole exercise as well. And those maps have been updated. Residents and community leaders were able to review the maps before they were finalized. I'm not sure if they're actually finalized as of yet.
March is the expected date for those maps to be
completed. Okay. Mr. Powell says March is the expected date for those to be completed, finalized.
Well, there's no harm if we were to mandate the 12-inch above freeboard. Of freeboard, is there? Is there a harm?
No, there's no harm.
Well, there's an additional cost.
Sure. Well, I mean, just in terms of legally, is there harm? That was the way I understood the question. So there's legally. There's
well,
no
you
harm
do it, or you pay high prices for your flood insurance. Isn't that the case?
How about if home's already built on a 10-foot pole? Does that mean you go up 2 more feet on that pole?
No, it wouldn't affect existing structures. But if you did a substantial improvement to that structure, then your new structure
well,
has to
comply.
I'm
talking about a new structure, something new. You'd say instead of driving 10-foot poles, be above, build on it. You'd have to go up 12. Is that
that's
what
right
you say
that's
in order
right
to get
correct
this?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you,
I'm just.
So I can't. You're really not saying 2 feet. It's just 2 feet on above the
that's
poles
right
you already have there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how you're doing it, right?
We have so many. We're getting better and better all the time. But there's so many situations with communities and individual homes where the information didn't get to the person properly and didn't. And there's a penalty to be paid. You know, we've got some other issues with communities that they didn't know what this was and didn't know what that was. I'm just trying to, is there a way to smooth it out so everyone knows or has to add 12 inches above that number? So that's what I'm asking, you know, because I've seen a lot of, this is a different subject, but I've got communities with bad roads. They did not know that they had to take care of the roads. I'm talking about educating, advising people about things. That's my concern. So they've got potholes everywhere, and now they have to come up with a lot of money they weren't expecting to come up with. I wouldn't want that to happen to someone who is building a home in a floodplain and later told, oh, well, you only took 6 inches up, and so, you know, it's you don't get, I don't know, they wouldn't get a discount at all, would they, or would they, for six above?
It's going to depend on what the elevation certificate.
Right.
But the one thing that I think a lot of times occurs here is that for the elevation certificate and plotting where you're going to construct a home, you're going to have a surveyor, an architect, or an engineer involved, depending mm-hmm on if it's a piling system or not, if you just have a surveyor, and they're going to be familiar with it because they know they need to get an elevation certificate. So right at the start, if you're building a house, and you're going to have to come get your building permit. You know, you're going to.
That's
your
what I'm checking. That's what I'm checking on. That's what
yeah
I want to know. The fail-safe. That's I just want to know if it's there.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yep.
Well, if you pay $1 million for a piece of property, you're bound to know, and you're building in the ocean, you're bound to know you're in the flood area.
Yeah, and that would be the example too. You know, I mean, there's certainly a range of homes that would fall into areas covered by this. You know, but you're going to have your surveyors or engineers or architects in that case that would also
sure
advise you.
Has any? Oh, I'm sorry. Does any of this affect houses, lifting homes, current homes? Or are we just talking about new construction here?
It just depends on the extent of the work you're doing to lift the home.
Uh-huh.
Then you may come under the new requirements.
So you might be able to save money doing that
yeah
if you
mm-hmm
do it right.
Well,
thank
and if you
you
unilaterally lift your home, absolutely. You would get another elevation certificate, sure, and then you would save yourself money. That's right.
You would. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
If people
okay
are doing that.
Yeah, right. That's right.
We're doing that.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Mr. Phillips.
Delaware law requires sellers to fill out a property disclosure.
That's correct.
Is this information within those items?
Off the top of my head, I don't know that it is, with whether you're in a flood zone or not.
Is that something that should be required?
Yes.
It certainly seems like it should be on the disclosure. I know that when you purchase, particularly if you get a loan at a settlement, every lender requires there to be a flood certificate issued.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Mr. Powell can answer that as well.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. I appreciate it. The one of the questions on the real estate seller's disclosure form is a question asking the seller of a structure. I don't believe this applies to selling vacant land. There is a question that asks, is the structure in a flood zone and has it been flooded? I believe are both questions that are on the versions of that form that I've seen.
I know there's the question about whether it's been flooded, whether there's any flood damage. I can remember.
It seems like there are a number of fail-safe
oh, sure
elements in the process to protect the purchaser. Obviously, the purchaser has to, you know, make an attempt to understand what they're buying. We can't, you know, we can't get nanny to.
Especially no. If you're borrowing money advance, if you're borrowing the banks are going to require all that stuff. But if you pay cash, there may be not as much diligence on some of that stuff. But
okay,
I'm not.
It's disclosed all over the place.
Actually, you said a while ago, it's not. There's no requirement law requiring on vacant land. There is a law in Delaware, but it's a Delaware law that if you buy a lot or a piece of land, and you find within a year and a half that's wetland or something like that, you can throw it back up and get your money back. I think that was George Carey's law or somebody that put that on board.
Never heard of that one.
Me either.
Well,
yeah.
I don't know about that one, Sam.
Any more questions, Council?
Well, I don't want to be a nanny to people as they come here and build their homes. But, again, maybe there is something. Maybe Vance has a good point. Maybe the realtors could help us out a little bit. When you settle on your house, it's you get all these pages of design, this, and it people don't often remember all of it. Maybe the realtors could cooperate with a disclosure. So I'm just wondering, what do you think about that? We could talk to them anyway.
Well, they do.
About the height.
Okay.
The height. And the availability of more freeboard and the possibility of a discount. That's what I'm looking at. That's all.
Anything else from council? Thank you, gentlemen.
If we could, I guess what we would look for, though, is just a little bit of a consensus, because the ordinance, as Mr. Lawson stated, is about 99% done, except for what, and granted, this is just a consensus. It has to be introduced and it has to go through the hearing process. But if there could be some idea from council that you want to move forward with staff's recommendation of the two and two that we talked about.
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we move forward with the staff's recommendations on the voluntary freeboard requirement for Sussex County.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes, we're improving every day, and I'm going to take my chances that we're going to do this right. I believe in it.
Yes, for the same reasons as Mrs. Deaver just stated.
Mr. Phillips?
Yeah.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Let's move back to the P&Z appointment, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Planning and Zoning Commission appointment is the next item for consideration. We currently have the ability to nominate a appointment for District 3, Mrs. Deaver, and it is my understanding that she chooses to reappoint Mr. Irwin G. Burton for 3 years.
Well, he likes that job, and he does an excellent job. So even though he's a Republican, and I have to appoint a Republican, I'll do it.
I have a motion for your consideration.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Second, Mr. Cole.
Yes.
To reappoint
Irwin.
Or I.G. Burton to the P&Z to fill out the term that expires in?
That would be June 1, 2017.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Questions on the motion?
Can we refer to him from here on out as Irwin?
If you choose to,
part
I'm
of,
sure
can that be part of the motion?
Why?
No, we can leave that alone.
I.G. Burton.
Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next, sir.
Thank you. Lastly, very quickly, the County Administrator's Report for October 21st, 2014. County offices will be closed on Tuesday, November 4th for Election Day and Thursday, November 6th for Return Day. Council will not meet on Tuesday, November 4th. Thank you, sir.
That's right.
Thank you, Mr. Lawson. We're going to move on the agenda now to our 10:30 public hearing.